Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you have sent your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into this world, a world that is so stained with sin, so much evil, corruption. Lord, your precious Son came to show us righteousness, truth, and holiness. And eventually, he was crucified on the cross for our sin. He died, buried, and he resurrected from the dead according to the scripture. Lord, we thank you for the clear instruction from your word regarding the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe because it is recorded in your word. We believe because it was a reality that Christ came and died for us. Lord, we realize that there are many people in the world today celebrating Easter and yet not knowing what it is. Lord, we want to pray that you will be merciful to these people who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who know not the importance and the necessity of his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, I want to pray that the gospel light, the light, the truth, as Paul has said, is Christ came to die, buried, and to be risen from the dead. Pray that this gospel will reach many people, especially in this city. Lord, we want to pray that you'll be merciful to this land, which once was a land that you raised up, a land that the gospel was preached to many nations. Lord, I want to pray that you will heal this land, but we also realize our responsibility, because your word says, if your people who are called by your name shall humble themselves and pray and seek your face, Lord, and turn from our wicked ways, then will you heal our land. I pray, God, that you have mercy to heal this land. Pray for us, your people, that, Lord, we will live the life that will glorify you, that our life will be a living testimony of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning, we'll be taking the Lord's Supper, and you said that we are to do this in remembrance of him. So, Lord, we want to remember his death for us. We want to remember, Lord, your goodness, your mercy. So, God, prepare our hearts. We want to commit this time the preaching of your word to you. Pray that you will grant us understanding. Pray that your word will encourage us. Encourage us by the fact that Christ is alive. And because he lives, Lord, we can face tomorrow. Bless, we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A blessed morning to you. I want to wish you a blessed Easter. Now, I'm quite sometimes careful when I say Easter. I know that the word has a pagan origin, right? Some say that the word comes from a Babylonian goddess. Some say that it's an Anglo-Saxon goddess that people worship in this land long ago. Right? Now, I'm willing to use this word in a sense, just like we use the month in the calendar. We know that the names of the month are actually named after Roman gods. Okay. Now, I just want to say that when we use it, we understand that it is used to depict that particular month, that particular day. For example, if I say this is the month of January, and you know that the name came from the Roman god Janus, the two-headed god, okay, with two faces, right? And we say that this is the month of January, and we know that this is the first month of the year when I say it is the month of January. Likewise, today when I say Blessed Easter, I believe and trust that you know that I'm greeting you because this is a day where we remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew. I just want you to look at one verse. And I love that verse there. It is a decorative verse. In Matthew chapter 27, while you are turning to the page, I want to welcome many of you who have come to worship with us. I see friends. We also have visitors from Singapore who have come to worship with us this morning. We want to welcome you on behalf of the church. Matthew 27, verse 62. In fact, it will be a very long passage. Let me just read from verse 62, and then I will bring you to another passage. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees come together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will raise again. I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and said unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Verse chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And look at verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord laid. Now I love the words of the angel to the woman. He said, He is not here, for he is risen. I think this is the most magnificent declaration in the Bible. It is more splendid, definitely, than all the declaration of victories in war or political triumphs. Jesus is not in the tomb, for he is risen and he is alive. We all know the hymn, Christ Arose. In fact, we sang it just now, okay? And I want you to look at the second stanza. It says, Vainly they watch his babe, Jesus my Lord. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Then the chorus says, Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, he, Christ, arose. The angels announced to the woman, He is not here. He is not in the tomb. For this reason, the Lord Jesus can say, Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That is found in the second last verse of Matthew chapter 28. And for this reason, Jesus can say, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Because he is risen. The promises of Jesus Christ are comforting words to all Christians. We have the assurance that he is with us when we are in the deepest tunnel, the most difficult times of our lives, and even when death beholds us. The knowledge of the truth of Christ's resurrection comes with some responsibilities. First of all, we have the responsibility of preaching it, declaring it to others. The angel said to the woman, "Go quickly," in Matthew chapter 28, verse 7, "and tell the disciples that he is risen." Having heard the good news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the responsibility of the woman was to go quickly and tell his disciples. Go and declare it. So, brothers and sisters, we are convinced of the truth of Christ's resurrection. Do you? If you do, then we have this responsibility to tell those who do not. I've prayed for this city, and I think you know that I always do when I come. I love to study the topic on missiology because it tells us of the development of Christianity in various places. And I did a thesis on how Christianity came to Singapore. And I realized that many of the first group of missionaries to Singapore were British. Right? They were British. They brought the gospel to the Far East. Today, we have the gospel preached to us. God has used them to turn us from darkness unto light. But then after a century or so, we see that the gospel light in this land slowly extinguishes. Now, obviously, we should feel very, very sad. Who then were to go and proclaim to them, "Christ is risen"? You and I. So the angel said to the woman, "He's not here, he's risen. Now go quickly, tell his disciples that he is not here, he is risen from the dead." Secondly, we have the responsibility of worshipping him. On their way to tell the disciples of Christ about Christ's resurrection, this woman, this group of women, actually met Christ. We are told in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 28, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'All hail!' And they came and beheld him by the feet." And what do they do next? We were told that the woman worshipped him. See, brethren, having known the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, having tasted — the word tasted means experience — the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our life, we must worship him. We must worship him. And obviously, worship should not be on Easter Day only. Yesterday we were trying to figure out, most Christians, how many times do they go to church? Well, some of us counted 3, some counted 4, some counted 5. But that should not be the 5-6 occasion where we come to worship God. Then somebody says, "Yeah, we must come to worship God every Sunday." I tell you, our worship of God must happen every day in our life. Because we are worshipping a living Savior. He is alive. He's here. Brethren, he's here this morning in our worship. The Lord Jesus is God. He's not confined by time and space. He's here. He knows our worship. He listens to our prayers, our heart cries. So, having known the resurrection of Jesus Christ, worship him. Thirdly, we have the responsibility of faith and courage. You look at Matthew 28 and verse 11. "Then said Jesus unto them, 'Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me.'" Jesus said to them, "Be not afraid." Right? Have faith, be courageous, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and I'll see them there. Now the question is, what were the women folks afraid of? There are two possibilities here. One is that the women were afraid of the chief priests and the Pharisees. You remember that the chief priests and Pharisees attempted to seal the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They even paid the soldiers to tell a lie, say that the disciples had stolen him. Right? And prior to that, they went to Pilate and says, you remember that man told the disciples that he will rise from the dead? Now, command that stone be placed on the mouth of the tomb. Seal it. They tried to seal man's mouth and man's ability to declare what is the truth. But they cannot seal Jesus Christ in the tomb. We were told that the stone rolled away. You see the power of God? It rolled away and the Lord Jesus Christ came up alive. He is risen. So for this reason, Jesus told the woman, be not afraid. My dear brothers and sisters, we should not be afraid. All right? We should not be fearful of what men will do. Men may say, no, don't preach the gospel. I was told in this country that a teacher tried to tell the children about Jesus Christ, and then he was taken out of their job. So the statement equates to a sacking. Isn't it sad? Someone trying to do her bit to tell little ones about the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this aspect, let me just tell you a little story of a Sunday school girl that I knew long ago. She was very young. Unfortunately, she died at a very young age. No. Before her death, she told her parents to be strong and courageous. She told her parents to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. She told her parents that she is going to heaven. Now, obviously, the parents were not comforted by this fact. Because their loving child is dying. But that young child had great faith. She was so sure that she's going to heaven. She passed away. The parents were disheartened. But I was told later on that they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now the question is, how did that little girl know that Jesus Christ is the risen, resurrected Lord? How did she know? She only heard it in the Sunday school class. And she believed it as a child. It was a childlike faith. And that strengthened her even at the point when she was facing death. See? So we must be courageous. Go and tell. Now the second possibility is that the women were afraid because of what had happened. They had gone to the tomb and then they found that the tomb door was open. Door in the sense that the rock was removed. Alright. And went in. The body was not there. I mean, I can understand how shocking it will be. Alright. One day I'm called upon to conduct a funeral. I go to the appointed place. I look at the coffin, I looked inside, but there was no body. I think that must have shaken them very much. So Jesus said, be not afraid. Be courageous. Have faith. Go and tell my brethren, go. Let not the enemy stop you. Let nothing hinder you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. That was the promise at the later part of the chapter. What I meant is the end of the chapter. God is with us. And He can be with us because He is risen. Our text this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we read from verses 1 to 20. Now, this passage here can be divided simply into two points. From verses 1 to 11, we actually see the evidences of the resurrection. And then from verses 12 to 20, we have the importance or the necessity of the resurrection. I do not, however, intend to spend too much time on the evidence, because they are just clear evidence, sound evidence, that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But let me just quickly go through them. First, the first evidence is the scripture, because the Bible says that according to the scripture, Jesus died. And then again, Paul says, according to the scripture, he buried and he rose from the dead, according to the scripture. Now, I've said a couple of times in this Easter camp that when Paul writes according to the scripture, or when the Lord Jesus Christ says, the law says, all right, it is always a reference to the Old Testament. There are many Old Testament references relating to the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the first four verses, that the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ form what we come to know as the gospel. Right? And that is the good news that we should proclaim to the world. The second evidence that Paul says concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was that the disciples saw him. Right? In verse 5, and he was seen of Caiaphas, then of the 12. And then the third evidence, we were told that 500 brethren saw him in Jerusalem. And then Paul testified that I saw him too. Remember, on the way to Damascus to arrest the Christian, Jesus appeared unto Paul. Alright? And in God's way, Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says that he saw the risen Lord and Savior. He witnessed the reality of Christ's resurrection. Now we want to look at verses 12 to 20. Paul here tells us of the necessity, the importance, at the same time giving us the benefits or the blessings of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is interesting that he states them in negative form. Let us look at it. In verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. I'm sorry, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is my text, and verse 14. Let me read from verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now you notice that he's putting it in a negative. He says that if Christ is not risen, then two things are in vain. The preaching and our faith are in vain. Verse 15, yea, we are found false witnesses of God. In other words, there's no resurrection, then we are false witnesses. Right? But the fact is, he is risen, so we are true witnesses. Mm-hmm. Let me just read on. Verse 15, the second part says, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Verse 18, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Last verse, verse 20. And now in Christ, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. So you have noticed that Paul is putting it in the negative form, right? And he says, if Christ is not risen, then these things did not happen. Now this morning, my intention is to put it in a positive form. In verse 14, if Christ is risen, then our preaching is not in vain, and our faith is not in vain. Verse 15, if Christ is risen, then we are true witnesses of God. Verse 17, it says that Christ is risen, we are no longer in our sin. Verse 18, Christ is risen, we are people living in hope. Alright? We are people blessed with hope, assurance. And then verse 19, because Christ is risen, we are men most envied. We should not be pitied. We should not be miserable, but we should be men most envied. So first of all, we come to the blessings, the benefits coming from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that Christ is risen, our faith is well founded. It is not in vain. In verse 14, I said that instead of saying negatively that our faith in vain, we can say positively that because of the resurrection of Christ, our faith is well founded. There are two ways of looking at this truth. Firstly, because Jesus said that he would rise from the dead and he was true to his word, he did rise from the dead on the third day. Thus, our faith in his word is well founded and is fruitful. Secondly, since Jesus is true to his word, we can trust in his person. Right? In other words, not only his word is true, his person is true. Right? And obviously, these two things cannot be separated. Right? A person who is speaking the truth must be of the truth. He is a truthful person. Alright? And therefore, we do believe that his word is truthful. You see, Jesus Christ is the truth. There's no doubt about it. And therefore, his words are true. That's why Paul very firmly declared, according to the scripture, he died. And then he says, according to the scripture, he was buried and he rose from the dead. See, today, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is important that we trust in his word. There are many people in the world who believe in Jesus Christ. The question is, who is Jesus to them? Some say he's John the Baptist, he's one of the prophets. He's a great teacher. Alright? There are people who say that, well, he was a great man, you know, a saint. But many would know him as the founder of the Christian religion. But is that sufficient? Now, if you were to ask these people, then do you believe in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm quite sure they will tell you they don't. So therefore, it is not enough to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. We have to believe in his word too. So, in the vice versa way, when I say I believe in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I too must also believe in him. Right? There are people who study the scripture, who are able to teach the scripture in this land. Okay. But the sad thing is that they do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Nor do they believe that He is God. They could teach it as a matter of a fact, as recorded in a book. So what is the Bible to these people? Well, probably a history book. A history book worth reading and facts worth to notice, to teach it. But the sad thing is that there is no faith in them. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that His word is true. We believe that He died, buried, and resurrected according to His word. Then can we sing this hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The death of Jesus Christ proves His love for us. The resurrection, His resurrection, proves His power over every enemy of life. Paul has this confidence in Jesus when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is recorded in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Now there are three other things that we benefit from with regards to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We come to the second thing. Christ is resurrected, our preaching is not vain, and we are true witnesses to the Word of God. We are the witnesses to God's Word. Alright? When the resurrection of Jesus was reported to the chief priests and the Pharisees, the first thing they did was to pay the soldiers guarding the tomb, so that they will not give a factual testimony to the event. The purpose of the chief priests and the Pharisees was to suppress the truth, hoping that they will make Jesus a liar. Historically, people who oppose the Christian religion have tried to suppress the truth of God. They created incredulous stories regarding the missing body and the weaknesses of the disciples. See, the whole purpose is to make us believe that what the apostle says, what is recorded in the Bible, are all not true. But brethren, today you and I are witnesses to this reality. We believe in Jesus Christ. And the power of His resurrection rests in us. How? Because He saved us and He changed our life. Truly, this is God's desire. Brethren, as we come and celebrate this Easter, we talk about Christ's resurrection. How does it impact my life? How does it impact your life? Obviously, we must know His power, His resurrection power. That power that enables us to live a new life. God help us. The secular world teaches us that there is no absolute truth. And because there is no absolute truth, there is no absolute right and wrong. Now this is a very erroneous teaching. Alright. It is sad to note that in some country it is illegal to call sin as sin. Without the conviction that there are absolutes that can be shared and make the basis for society, the only end will be anarchy, where everyone does what is right in his own eyes. Therefore, the need for truth is a deep need of all human soul and all human society. Jesus Christ came into this world and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who would go and testify of this truth? You and I. Because we are the true witnesses of the resurrection of Christ. Thirdly, in the text that we have read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see that in Jesus Christ's resurrection, we have the forgiveness of sin. Remember, Paul put it in a negative way. If Christ be not risen, we are yet in our sin. And since Christ is risen, obviously we are no longer in our sin. Because God had forgiven us of our sin. See, all of us deep in our hearts want forgiveness. Simply because we are men very weak. We do say things that are wrong. We hurt someone. Okay? And I'm sure that when you realize that you have hurt someone, you want to say sorry. I hope that we have the courage to say sorry. You know, there are people who have no courage to go and say sorry. Alright? Much less to want to seek for forgiveness. We should have the courage to seek for forgiveness. And we long for forgiveness. We long to have God to forgive us of our sin. You see, men had tried many ways to have their sin expiated. That means to be removed. Okay? They will go to religious places. They will seek religious men for cleansing and whatever. But we know that there is forgiveness truly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he died for our sin. He was buried. He buried and resurrected for our justification. So today we stand before God, in a sense, without sin. Now obviously we know that it is not because we have no sin, but rather that the righteousness of Christ is upon us. So that when God look upon us, we are guiltless. Thank God for this declaration of sinlessness because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our sins are forgiven. Today we can live a new life, knowing that we have the power to overcome sin. Right? Brethren, if we find that we are very weak and we have no power to overcome sin, think about this. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He died. He really died for us. And then he really rose from the dead. And by these two truths, the word of God says that he has removed our sin. Wonderful, isn't it? Lastly, want to see that there is the benefit of hope after death. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. By putting the verse in a positive statement, it means that we have the hope of rising from the dead because Jesus is risen. Paul called the death of believers as people who have fallen asleep. Alright? Now it's not a good thing if you fall asleep in class. Alright? It is impolite, you know, when somebody is talking to us and then we fall asleep. But then God says that the saints fell asleep. We understood the meaning of Paul. He's actually talking about the death of every child of God. And in God's eyes, the child does not die. Right? He has fallen asleep. Right? He's taken a nap. Soon he will be awake. And when his eyes are open,
The Bible says that he shall behold greater things, for his body will be changed from corruption unto incorruption. These are verses recorded for us in the later part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We shall be changed. This is our hope. Brothers and sisters, I used to encourage elderly people in the nursing home back in Singapore. I say that today they are suffering from all kinds of infirmities. Many are on wheelchair. We have a large number who are actually on the bed all the time. And when you go to them, there's always that misery in their look, because they do not have hope. So I would tell them that there is hope in Jesus Christ. For when the great day of his appearing happens, we shall all be transformed. God will give us a new body and we shall be with him forever. Now we can have this hope. One, because Christ is risen according to the scripture. Two, it is a promise given to every child of God. You and I have this promise. But perchance if you are outside the kingdom of God and you do not have this hope, I want to urge you, come, put your trust in Jesus Christ. Easter commemorates his resurrection. And he is risen. You see, if not, our commemoration this morning is in vain. But because he is risen, it is not in vain. So for the many, many years, for the last 2,000 years, the commemoration of Easter is a glorious event. It's the most wonderful event. It should be the most wonderful event in every one of our life. Today we can tell each other, Christ is risen. Right? We sing, Christ is risen. Later on, we are going to sing the song, Because He Lives, We Can Face Tomorrow. How wonderful it is. Lastly, we are people not miserable because we have hope. The Greek language there means people to be pitied. But we are not people to be pitied. Rather, we are people to be envied. If men and women who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ knew that this is the hope of the Christian, they will truly envy the hope we have. When they know that we have a peace that passes all understanding, because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then they will envy. The question is, do we live life miserable? I hope not. We should be hopeful people. We should be living in expectancy that is Christ's return. And then we can say to any trials in our life, even sickness, even the threat of diseases, death will not scare us, because we know we have hope. You see, when we are able to witness in that manner for Jesus Christ, it is powerful. Very powerful. That's why to this day I remember that little girl who said to the parents, I don't fear death. I know Jesus will take me to heaven. I know that Jesus died for my sin. I know that he was buried and he rose again from the dead. Brothers and sisters, I hope really we live in the light of that hope. And for this reason, Paul could say, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And Paul says at the end of chapter 15, verse 58. The end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
And in verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Yes, it is not in vain. We want to praise God for this wonderful, wonderful truth. At this time, I would like you to prepare yourself as we all prepare to take the Lord's Supper. It is a very appropriate occasion to remember the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And incidentally, it is the second week of the month where we have our Holy Communion. The Holy Communion is open to all believers who have obeyed the Lord in the ordinance of baptism. If you are visiting us from another church and you are baptized, you're welcome to take the Lord's Supper with us. It is a command to all Christians to eat the bread and to drink the cup in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you will take the element, remember him, and then tell him that you love him and you want to give your life to him. We want to spend some time to pray in private prayer. Then after that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of thanksgiving for the Lord's Supper.